Now we had a ring at the door. Mr. Wang Lin was going to be calling. I wonder if he can hear me.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes. What's up, sir? How's it going?
Not too bad. It's been a interesting show here.
Yes. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Johnny. It's nice to nice to talk with you. It's been a while.
Been a very long time, sir.
So I thought this was great to go into the your view of the background here. Just real quick, I mean, you know my background with these people, but just for the audience, my background actually goes back longer than yours. I've known these people since I think 2011 or 2012. Wow. So you know, I've known them a while. You know, when the wife thing happened, I was very supportive of Mike when that happened. You know, it's a little bit embarrassing now, but that's a fact. I said, you know, he didn't know he was going to get involved in this stuff. He didn't. At the time, I said, I don't think he was purposely deceiving anyone. He got involved in this stuff on the internet, got red-pilled about Jews, and he happened to be married to this woman, and I defended him. So then after that, he was involved with the TWP people, with Heimbach and Matt Parrott, and this kind of like what became, because I knew Heimbach going back to when he was in college, and he was just doing that white student union thing. And he became like this street marching, you know, like skinhead gang, like a neo-Nazi type gang. Matt Heimbach's group, which was called the People's Worker Party, or no, Traditionalist Workers Party. Yes, so they became like a neo-Nazi gang. And then Cantwell got involved in that. And then it kind of, I didn't really know that was going on. I was kind of doing my own thing and wasn't really following this stuff super closely. But then it all came out in Charlottesville that this is like they were wearing plastic stall helms, and it was like this big violent neo-Nazi street fighting group, right, involving TWP, and then like the National Socialist Movement and League of the South, and then Cantwell was, I don't think he had a group, but he was kind of in that like skinhead, and that's when that Vice documentary and everything. So after Charlottesville happened, you know, I was very much optics, you can't go out there and look like neo-Nazi gang members, this isn't, nobody wants to see this shit, people don't like this. And it looks like shit. And that's what, you know, if it would have been, people would have been more sympathetic looking at Charlottesville, that whole debacle would have gone down a lot different in my view.
Right. So, if everybody dressed like me.
What's that?
If everybody dressed like me at Charlottesville, it would have been a whole lot different.
Yeah. If everybody would have just looked like a normal person, it wouldn't have been, you know, this whole thing that became like basically a part of American, it's a big part of American.
It is.
You know,
a
big part of the Trump, you know, this thing was hanging over him that he was like a leader of a neo-Nazi gang. So it was the worst debacle. I mean, you know, I've apologized for it, for promoting it. And I should have known more about what was going on with the thesis. But like I say, I knew Matt Heimbach since 2012 or 2013. I wasn't aware that he was full on like plastic stall hound, all this stuff with these neo-Nazi groups and so on. So after that, I you know, tried to work with TRS. I said, you know, you can't, like, is this what we want? Do we want to be you want neo-Nazism? Like, that's the goal here, is like a street marching neo-Nazi gang. And they kind of told me, I mean, I don't want to go into private conversations or anything, but I'm pretty sure it was in public that they were like, no, we don't want to do this. We don't want to do like this. And then it came out that, you know, Cantwell was working with the FBI to get his charges marked down, which is a snitch. There's no, I mean, he tried to say he was only snitching on Antifa, right? Which is like not, you know, if you go to prison, which he's in prison now, and I'm pretty sure they're not saying, well, who did you snitch on? You know, that's not really the way that works. You become an FBI snitch, you're an FBI snitch. You snitch on everybody. And he released video that he recorded at Charlottesville, body cam video, that, you know, people got did up on video that he gave the FBI and testimony that he gave the FBI. So, you know, I what TRS told me is that they were going to dissociate from all of that, but then slowly, and maybe it had to do with Stryker. I don't know. I also know Stryker before this.
Yeah. But, he's great, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He wrote articles that were pretty normal, and we would have conversations, and I can tell you he was a little bit of a weirdo, but he would kind of say like, no, we don't want to be a neo-Nazi gang. We don't want to be a neo-Nazi gang. That's not the goal. So then, so, you know, the years go on to I guess only the next year. So, and I start noticing TRS is rehabilitating Heimbach. Well, Heimbach had that thing where he had sex with his mother-in-law, right?
The cuck box.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the cuck box thing.
Yeah.
So they kind of dissociated from, because I had been arguing that they should dissociate from Matt Heimbach before that. And then when he had sex with his mother-in-law and then beat up his father-in-law, they kind of started to dissociate or did dissociate from him. But then over the next, I guess it's in 2018, they started to kind of act like they were friends again with Cantwell and started doing stuff, which Cantwell, you know, admitted FBI informant. And TWP, I mean, they seem to be involved. I don't know why you would act. I don't know why you would march through the streets in plastic stall homes unless you were somehow connected to the FBI. I don't know how anybody could think of doing that otherwise. So I said, you know, I'm not going to be involved. And the other thing is, I shared their shows, and they told me that I tripled their numbers by sharing them on my website. That's what they told me, that their numbers tripled when I started sharing them. So, you know, I stopped sharing their site, and I said, look, I'm gonna stop being involved directly with you guys. I hope you make different decisions than being involved with, you know, TWP and Cantwell. But I'm just gonna disconnect from it. And then that audio with J.O., which I don't think was a true story. People say that I think this was a true story, that he was caught selling heroin.
No, you know, that podcast, excuse me, was a show called Anarchist Gumbo. And he was literally high and just making stuff up.
Yeah, for me, he said he was selling heroin and he was working for the FBI. And there was a background to that. Of he had like a forum history that went back years of when he was involved in anarcho-capitalism, that he was saying he was a heroin dealer and all this stuff. So his story of like agreeing to be an FBI informant and then fleeing to South America on a private plane, it did not sound like a real story. It sounded like his stories of like, you know, killing N-words in Africa. Like that was
all of his stories.
It just all sounded like a bunch of bullshit. But I said, this is what an FBI informant would do to get involved in a group. And I called them out. I first called Mike, and then he blocked me and said, look, what is this? What is going on with this guy who's like some kind of freak and is talking about being involved with the FBI? He's talking about selling heroin. He's got this whole other thing where he said he killed black people in Africa. Why are you involved with this guy? What's going on? And you're trying to bring back Cantwell, who's involved with we know is an FBI informant. You're bringing back these TWP people. What are you doing? Just give me some kind of an explanation here. And he blocked me on his phone. So I went out and like wrote about this, that I think these people are compromised, you know, because they were willing to collapse their business model for defending this, this J.O. guy. They were willing to go ahead and collapse their entire business model, which their numbers went straight down after this happened, in order to keep this J.O. guy on board. And then you have Mike getting removed from that lawsuit, and a lot of other different stuff. And then, of course, from that point, they started just going into being complete kooks, where they're promoting like lockdowns and vaccines. Mm-hmm. They're promoting for voting for Joe Biden. And what do you think about, I mean, what was it like in the background when all that stuff was happening? Were you privy to what their discussions were?
Well, not really, no. Like I said, I stopped listening to the Shoah when Jesse broke the keyboard after Christchurch. I was like, I can't watch this guy ever again. I just can't watch these guys. These guys are terrible. Like, and all the shit they talked about me and my show, like, it's just bants and just jokes, right? But it was constant. So I never listened to that show, so I don't know what was going on. I would hear it secondhand. When COVID first broke, then the only people on earth to get it right was you, me and my guys, and like Ramsey Paul. That was it. Everybody else blew like the biggest psyop in the history of ever. They completely blew it. And on the other side, they came out with their take that it was because Hasidic Jews were researching MERS. And then the other Jews got scared of these Hasidic Jews and they locked the entire world down. That's why. Like that's the most ridiculous COVID theory. And then they strut around saying that they were correct and that everybody else was incorrect and they've been right the whole time. The vaccine thing, like they just, oh, there's no such thing as mandates. Mandates don't real. Just get a fake vaccine card, bro. Mandates don't real. It's just, you know, these guys who never have any sort of pressure to ever get a vaccine from their boss because they, you know, they're never going to lose their job because of that. Telling people not to worry about it and then bragging about how much money they made off of Pfizer stock. You know, like I know people personally who took the vaccine just to keep their job and they hate themselves and they're like, but I had to, like I have my kid has to have insurance, you know, just, you know, yeah. But then you go and you brag about this anti-white, everything about the fucking COVID thing was anti-white. And these guys promoted that. Oh, lockdowns are good because then white people won't be working and the system won't work because the white people aren't there. Once the system realizes that the white people aren't there. Yeah. We need to have white communism. Give everybody Gibbs. Everybody gets UBI. All of a sudden UBI is popular. With these guys.
Yeah, they're promoting all kinds of weird communists. They voted against Trump. They said everybody should vote against Trump.
Oh, yeah. They hate conservatives so bad. Like, they hate Christian conservatives, especially. Literally, all they do is shit on Christianity, shit on, like, they're hardcore, like, especially McNabb. He's a terrible atheist. And, like, if you're trying to do white nationalism, you need the white Christians. Sorry. But, like, you do. Even Rockwell and Pierce were, like, they were agnostic. And they were like, no, we need the white Christians. But these guys shit all over. Cake in a stick and all that shit, you know. You're saying people religion. Dude, white people in America, if they're religious, they're Christian. If you want to get white people. You want white people awake? The dumbest chant I've ever heard in my entire life. white people awake. Really, Stryker? That's the best you could come up with? Aren't you a journalist?
Anyway. Not really.
No, I was being facetious.
In my experience, no.
Dude, told you. Oh, did you guys hear that after the stuff came out, he threatened to sue me?
No.
I'm not surprised.
No, I didn't.
I got up to go to work because I have a job, and I got up at 4:30 to take a piss, and I just grabbed my phone, and I look, and there's a message from Eric Stryker that was sent at 3:35. Because, you know, 3:35 on a Thursday night, that's usually, you know, that's usually prime sleeping hours for normal people, but not for your everyday average childless alcoholic cokehead. But he sent me a very long, wordy message saying that if I didn't stop lying about him doing cocaine, because that's a very serious offense, and the FBI really is after him, and I am going to cause great harm to his loved ones because of my lying about him doing cocaine, he's going to sue me. He said he will spend every penny that he has to sue me. It's the funniest thing I've ever fucking heard.
So you talked about they live in a private gated community with a bunch of Jews.
They live in the Poconos, both of them, Mike and Jesse live in the Poconos, which is like the most Jewish part of Pennsylvania. And they both live in ski resort communities. So gated resort communities that have actual like gates that you have to actually go and show your ID to get in. Right. When you go past the gate guard, you drive up the street about a quarter of a mile. There's a synagogue. Inside, you know, why, if you were the biggest anti-Semite on earth, why would you want to live around so many Jews? Second of all, how, I know I have people that, I have friends, like our property we've had in our family for years, but like people that buy houses in HOAs, they get a background check done, like especially a Jewish HOA. How did these people pass the HOA exam? Background check. Why would you want to live there as an anti-Semite and B, how the fuck did we get in? Those are two questions. And
where did the money come from? I mean, these have to be pretty expensive houses.
Jesse had a house. He had a house in New York, and he sold it for a lot more money than what he paid for the house in Pennsylvania. That makes sense. Mike supposedly sold a bunch of Bitcoin.
Okay.
So I don't you know, that doesn't seem, you know, whatever. But like, but the point is like, they were able to buy houses. That's cool and all, but. When you have 5,000 subscribers, at their peak, I think they had like 5,000 subscribers. That's $50,000 a month, dude. You know, that's a decent income. For
between how many people, though? I'm working with the jazz hands, everybody else. I mean, they weren't paying you.
Yeah, when I got paid, I was getting paid to do Mike and the Mad Wop. You know, I got paid, it wasn't enough to live on, but it was a nice little, you know, it was a nice little extra every month. It wasn't enough to live on by any means. But I only did 4 shows a month, you know. Or no, we were 2 shows a month because Mike and the Mad Wop was every other week and Jazz and Jesse was the other one. And then Fash the Nation, anybody who did paywall content got paid. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, weren't really involved with them on a private level after the fallout with me in 2018.
I was still friends with them. Like, I used to go stay at Jesse's house. Like, you know, we'd go to do stuff. People, they have... you know, families that have property, they'd have big campouts. You know, I'd go to all those things with my family and go down there. Yeah, I was close, what I considered close friends with them up until just a couple months ago.
And you didn't see anything strange about their behavior in terms of being involved with cops?
No. Nobody was ever involved with cops. What do you mean involved with cops? Nobody was involved with cops.
Well, in terms of the feds, in terms of what exactly how this whole thing progressed, and if there were feds involved with
that. When you're inside,
the whole progression.
Right. But when you're inside, and I was around in the inner circle when TRS first blew up. And so, like, being inside and that close to everything, I didn't really see, you know, I was obviously taken by the whole thing. Yeah, we're going to change the world. We're going to save the white race. You know, we're going to take over media. You know, we're going to do all this stuff. And we're going to win. Look how much winning we're doing. We're going to win. And we thought we were winning. You know, in 2016, TRS probably could have run a candidate or two, and they probably could have won locally.
Well, also, when they're your friends, you're looking at them, you're making excuses for friends, right? Like, I mean, that's just how it works, right? You know,
when we were in California, dude, this is a fucked up story. Just, you want to know how they treat people? This is how these fucking people treat people. You sit in a car with a guy, do cocaine with the guy. 3 months later, the guy gets kicked out of his pool party for doing cocaine. And do you think anybody stood up for him? After doing the guy's cocaine at a party. Yeah.
Damn. By the way, you mentioned the cult mentality aspect, and that's something that's been thrown around recently against America First, unjustly, I would say. But you mentioned that here in this situation, you brought it up unprompted. I was already thinking of that before the interview. But cult, man.
They get, like,
this sounds like a legitimate cult.
They gaslight their listeners. Every month, they change their opinion on something, and they gaslight their listeners to say that what we talked about a month ago, we never said that. And anybody who believes that is fucking retarded. And they keep their people constantly gaslit. They are literally libtards. They are libtards. They are racist liberals. That's
what I've seen, is that they promote whatever the media is saying, but then they put like a white nationalist spin on it. And this is something that's been coming up a lot. And I mean, Richard Spencer does the same thing. It's like, yeah, I support whatever the media says. I just have a white nationalist reason for supporting it. I think that supporting the COVID, I mean, that's just unconscionable to me, that they told people to lock down and told people to wear the masks, and this mm-hmm. was a deadly pandemic, and it was gonna
just wear the mask, bro. You know, just do it to get by. Just do it. Just why would you want to do that? I'd rather wear the mask and tell the guy behind the counter about the Holocaust. What?
And they just kept talking about the Holocaust throughout the whole entire COVID thing. They didn't talk about COVID at all. And it's like Mike said that the economy, that if the quote unquote economy collapsing would mean stocks. And I said, it's not going to mean stocks. Stocks are going to go back up because they're printing all this money. That what it's going to do is cause mass inflation and suffocate the middle class and the working class. That's what they're going to do when they're printing these trillions.
Yeah. MMT, bro. MMT. He was like fucking completely wrong. They have never been right. They're loud about it. They do the thing where they're like, if I'm the most loud, then I'm the most right. It's like the way blacks argue.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting is the way that they cut themselves off completely from, I mean, Ralph, this is a public platform, right? I mean, people go on here as a public forum,
sure.
And they've completely cut themselves off from this show. They've cut themselves off from any kind of criticism at all. In terms of all the stuff they promote and people who want to ask them about it, the JO thing. I mean, a lot of people wanted to ask what was going on there. A lot of people wanted to ask what was going on when they started promoting Cantwell, who, again, admitted FBI informant. Did they not have a narrative? I mean, because Mike said that I was working for the SPLC, that's the only reason that I would even ask about what was going on with JO. That's the only reason I would ask. I have mental health problems, or I'm working for the SPLC. That's what that was his comment once his own people were rebelling. And his own people were rebelling a lot because JO said he had sex with trannies in that audio, which it seemed to upset people more than the Fed claims. But so they, were they talking about this in the background? I mean, what was going on? Because they were hemorrhaging users.
Right, they did the thing where they let JO tell, you know, give an explanation. And his explanation was that he was spitballing ideas for a book. That's what the podcast was supposed to be about. Him and the other guy were talking about a book that they were going to write. And these were stories that were going to be in the book. That's the retcon that JO came out with in like 2018. he disappeared. He's gone. He, from what I gather, they made him sign an NDA and gave him some cash to fuck off.
Well, they didn't do that. They didn't do that originally. Originally, right. Because that would have been really easy to say, "Oh, well, we didn't know this about this guy."
Right. They didn't. They just said nothing. They do the usual thing where they just pretend it didn't happen and ignore it, and you know, and gaslight their listeners into, you know, that just we don't need to talk about it. It's already been handled.
Well, the goal seems to be a cult, to be a very small cult with devoted mm-hmm. with a devoted tiny group of people, because they don't appear to be interested in any kind of outreach or expanding. Because I mean, you know, if you wanted to do outreach and expand your audience, you would have to do things a lot differently than this. They seem to be very comfortable with being a tiny insular mm-hmm. group of neo-Nazi cultists who do, you know. That this stuff that they produce, you know, if they do a march, I guess they did a march against Waukesha and made a documentary. I never saw the documentary, but that seems to be for internal consumption and to keep their own people thinking that they're doing something.
That's all.
Probably they're getting individual donations from larger donations from certain people who are like sucked in. Because it's how a cult works, right? You know, a cult has a small number of people, but you get the cult leader gets people to give like huge amounts of their personal income, you know, 10% or 20% or something. That was Scientology or
right.
any of the major cults.
Oh yeah, no, most definitely. They have a couple of, you know, big donors. Like I said before, the guy that owns the barn, one of their guys, one of the NJP guys, that's his address. He's registered at the barn. So they're definitely, and again, Stryker's website that could take national-justice was shared a Google account with the Russia, whatever it is, the Russia Insider, whatever it is that Bousman's website was. So they definitely, I mean, you definitely had that connection with that guy, and that guy is the seed oil magnate. You know, he's the guy from Soyatech. He definitely, I know for a fact that there was money being paid for, you know, for articles and stuff. So they're not just getting subscriber donations. You know what I mean? They are definitely getting outside donations too.
So why do you think that they're so insular, that they refuse to engage with anybody in the outside world at all?
Because fuck them. Because they have contempt for everybody except for the little group of friends. Everybody else sucks except for these eight people. That's literally how they act.
So you don't think they're actually trying to throw a communist revolution or whatever?
I think Stryker might think he is. I mean, I know that's like what he's always wanted to do. Like I said, one of the original TWP guys told me about Stryker a long time ago and was like, he fucks up everything. He's very ambitious, but, you know, he fucks everything up. So I don't know, man. I mean, Stryker's got to be getting paid somewhere. You know, I mean, it's not from his Strike and Mike subscribers, because another thing that I've heard insider baseball on is that Sven hates Strike and Mike because the people that actually listen to it don't pay for the paywall. They just download it off of somebody's thing off a poll. Like most listeners of Strike and Mike just take it off a poll. So Stryker's not actually bringing in money. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I can believe that. I can't believe that anybody that would listen to Eric Stryker would have very much money anyway.
Right.
Kind of like a dumbass.
There's that, yeah. He said there was the Strike and Mike the other day where they're talking about abortion. Oh my God, dude, their take on abortion is so terrible.
Oh, let me play that, actually. Also, yeah. I was going to ask, well, I'll just wait, since that's come up naturally.
It's so, let it's me go so ahead fucking terrible.
The abortion movement has always been that. And I've always seen, you know, people saying, like, it's a win or something. I mean, I guess it's like a win, but the thing is, it's a win for something that has always been there as a distraction.
Conservative position of, like, okay.
You should have to have a retard baby. No one wants that either. TRS was never, TRS and NJP were never pro-life. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, wait a second, so that's the new litmus test now? Right. Something you wouldn't have dreamed of making a litmus test 2 months ago?
Something that you made fun of Ted Cruz for talking about in 2016.
Yeah, something that was never going to be, would never have been a litmus test for white nationalism. Like, yes, we have to be against, we have to make people have like mulatto retard babies. Like, yes,
it's the same crowd. Yes. It's the same crowd. And I think the common denominator there, it's not ideological, it's just that they're dumb.
Well, it's just like, this is a thing. It's like, here's a thing. Go do the thing.
Right.
Explain this, though, so people that understand how this works, because there are people that want to say this was a win, that was a win, or these are an example of a system being weak or something. Let me explain how they work this. They pick out issues that are materially kind of irrelevant or not very relevant to very many people and won't make much of a difference in terms of how actual power is brokered, but have a big moral component to them. Right? there's a moral argument. So there's an argument about abortion that is a very moral case, right? A very moral, moralistic case can be made on really either side, right, of it.
Oh.
And they take these issues, although in terms of the actual rule that was being decided on, materially, it's not particularly relevant. It only affects a very small amount of people, if any. Same thing with abortion. So they take these and they blow them up to be these big things.
Yeah.
And they get everybody debating about these things that aren't materially very relevant, but seem to have a big deal in terms of a world.
Hold on, wait.
If anyone from them should lead TR.
Hold on, I'll play that in a sec. I want to finish that clip.
Same thing with abortion. So they take these and they blow them up to be these big things, and they get everybody debating about these things that aren't materially very relevant, but seem to have a big deal in terms of a worldview. Right. And they just get you debating that and hating each other based on opposite sides of that issue.
Now, we played this earlier, and this was startlingly off base as a take, if you ask me. Abortion, just a nothing issue, I guess.
It's a nothing issue, dude. It's literally nothing. It's just it's a fringe issue that nobody cares about.
Well, most people don't feel that way, Mike. I don't know what to tell you.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of an animating issue here.
So you embrace abortion to own the Jews, right, Mike?
Yeah. It's almost like it's part of his religious practice or something like that.
It's like almost like it's, yeah, it might be there.
It's part of his, I don't believe. I don't know. But what did you think about that, mystery caller, Wang Lin?
It's not surprising. I mean, they did the same thing with gun control. They support gun control. So, I mean, it's not surprising. They seem to be based around putting out, like, leftist ideas under the veneer of white nationalism. That seems to be the entire purpose of their thing that they do, is to put out leftist ideas, just to agree with whatever the leftist media says, and then say, well, this is white nationalism. I mean, the retard baby thing, I mean, this is so, like, 99.98% of abortions are elective. I mean, it's some insane number. It's over 99%
right.
of abortions are elective. So, I mean, this is a mass slaughter. It's all Jews. It was pushed through by Jews. It's all, I mean, even now it's all Jews protecting it and trying to push this. Mm-hmm. It was all Jews on the Supreme Court. It's Jews that have kept it on the Supreme Court. It's all these Jews out there lobbying now, saying it's part of the Jew religion to kill children, which is a very strange admission on the part of the Jews. And this is something that. Okay, so say you were, you know, a right-wing guy and you just didn't really care about that issue that much. Well, the fact is that virtually every single right-wing conservative in America cares significantly right. about that issue. So if you wanted to have some kind of right-wing movement, I mean, that would be something that you would keep quiet about if you just, like, didn't really care that much about abortion, and you would side with the, I mean, because what are you even doing? Who are you fighting for? If you're not willing to stand up against abortion or stand up for gun rights or any of these, or fight against COVID lockdowns, which is, you know, I mean, how many amendments in the Constitution did that violate? I mean, they shut down churches,
right?
And close private. I mean, it was a whole, like, at least three or four amendments to the Constitution were violated by those COVID lockdowns. So if you're going to support all this stuff, then who is your audience, and what is your purpose? It ends up being just like you're making this for, like, edgy teenagers, and they also have, like, an internet defense force. I don't. They're probably not. They're probably all been banned from the chat because they're also aggressive. But
yeah, they used to have the TRS Expeditionary Force. They're the Troll Army. We used to go into Discus comments and get the comment section shut down in, like, 2016, 2015, right, 2017. Then we all started getting banned. But yeah, and all those guys, then TRS changed their message, and all the good people that were good at that left. They still have their trolls and their little internet defense force. They just suck. They're all, like, 18-year-old edgy kids.
Yeah, it seems like if you were involved in Satanism in the 90s, like, instead you would be involved with, like, this weird TRS communist
right.
thing.
Right. Well, you know, you said they were for gun control. Yeah, they're for gun control because they do it racist, though. That way blacks and illegals don't get more guns. So we have gun control. It's because racism that we want it. They take everything that's leftist libtard point and put a little bit of racism on it, and that makes it okay.
So did you already say what your final falling out?
Yeah, I was going to go back to that. Let's double back to that.
The final falling out was over the COVID stuff, dude. Like, we were talking about how the mandates were doing, and, like, it was forcing people to get the vaccine. Nobody's getting forced. You know, there was, like, that whole back and forth with that. And then their take on it being MERS, and we just made fun of that. And then we came up with the term bugnat, which is like a bugman nationalist. Like, you know, like you, the Holocaust was definitely fake, but the moon landing definitely happened. And also 9/11, sure, it was Israel, but, you know, it was Israel that paid the Arabs to fly those planes. You know what I mean? It's just they're the atom bomb. I don't know. They just don't. No other conspiracy could ever be real other than the Holocaust. Right. So we came up with that. And apparently that hurt Mike's feelings because it hits you close to home, because all they talk about is Star Trek and Transformers figures and the Holocaust. So that's what a bugnet really is. Anyways, and then it was like we were mean to them. And so we were told everybody told them to kick us off their network. And Jesse was like, well, dude, you're like my best friend. I can't kick you off the network. But like, could you just tone it down a little bit? And then something else happened and we did it again. Because you just can't not make fun of how stupid their fucking takes are. I'm sorry. Like, when they go directly after stuff, like, they say stuff about my show, we say stuff about their show. That's just kind of how it is. Like, so it's just Bantz, right? It's just Bantz. Well, they didn't like it was Bantz. So then they were like, okay, you guys are doing Alex Jones tier conspiracy stuff on COVID. Mike's trying to do politics, and he can't direct people in the direction he wants everybody to go if you guys are misdirecting people on purpose. I was like, what? Okay, fine, we'll leave. Like, we'll leave. That's totally fine. We'll leave. And they're like, no. Well, wait, no, we're kicking you off. You're not leaving. I'm like, okay, whatever. It's fine. So we left. That was really it. And then after we left, they started calling us fake white nationalists, and we were gun guarding for Zionism.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Did they use that term?
Did they really? Yes. No, they did not. Are you kidding me? Holy shit.
Dude, I swear to you, no! If I can find the clip, Raph, if I can find the clip, I'll send it to you.
Please, God, I have to hear this.
Yeah. It's Sven having another hissy fit meltdown because Thule-tide has constantly owned them. Like, on, right? So I reposted a Thule-tide thing that owned TRS, and it was like the one that where Thule-tide called Mike a fat retard because he is. But
yeah, why didn't he lose weight?
Mike, I don't understand why they don't do anything. They're the laziest people ever. They get paid to do fucking radio. You would think they'd be in shape. No, I guess round is a shape. Mike is fat. Mike has moves. Like Mike has a gunt. I've seen it.
Especially
like,
he's doing coke all the time.
You know, I mean, he's like the Chris Farley cokehead, I guess, right? The fat cokehead.
No, I thought he got in shape though. I thought he's like.
He started to for a minute and then he stopped. Look at the Akron action that they did. And Mike's got moves out there in that polo.
Do you think I could take him in a foot race if we went head up? Maybe we should.
I don't think he's very athletic. I don't think Mike's very athletic.
Yeah, 100-yard dash, me.
No, I think you could because Mike is like has like a zero when it comes
me,
to
me. Mike Zinovich, 100-yard dash. <That's>
I want to see the final showdown.
That's right, the final showdown. Right? Yeah, fuck boxing. Yeah, no, that's played out. Let's do a race.
He said that we were gunt guarding for Zionism, and we were massage shills just like Thule-tide, and we are the enemy. And I was like, you know what, dude? Fuck you. I thought we were friends. You actually are telling your listeners who actually come and attack me and my friends because all of a sudden now we're the enemy. All your army turns on me because that's how cultists act, right? It's just like they're like racist. What they are is right-wing NPCs, these racist listeners that listen to TRS.
Well, you would have to be borderline like schizophrenic, like to go from, because listen, like in 2015, 2006, I mean, up until Charlottesville and then even a little bit after Charlottesville, like I was on the same page with these people, and mm-hmm. I've been on the same page since I started my site in 2013. And I had site, you know, it took me a while to get to where I was, but by the time I started my site in 2013, I've had the same views since then. So to see people like have those views, or they developed those views, because when I first talked to them in like 2011 or whatever, they were like libertarians who were first becoming like racially aware or whatever, and kind of struggling with the Jewish issue. But whatever, you know, everybody goes through this process. But then to go through that process and then transform into like communist liberals, where they're talking about, I mean,
yeah,
this, what's his name? I'm sure he's a cop. This Tony
Hobiter?
Yeah.
His eyebrows, you know what we call him. He looks like he's Michael Aquino's moonchild.
He probably is.
You know, Michael Aquino with the eyebrows, the church is set.
Yeah.
Temple is set, yeah.
I know he is, yeah. He was in the government.
He was in the Air Force. He was like special ops in the Air Force. He did all the psychological shit in Vietnam, yeah.
Yeah. He probably is Michael Aquino's love child.
The eyebrows. But, you know, nobody else has those eyebrows.
But he was saying stuff about, I can't remember what I was going to say. He was saying now.
Oh,
I remember when COVID happened, he was posting that it wasn't government oppression to be locked down. And he posted a picture of Waco being firebombed, and he said, this is what government oppression looks like. And it's like, okay, so you can't complain about your government taking your rights away until they firebomb you? That's right. The argument here?
Right. I saw that too, and I was like, wow. This is a guy who doxed himself to the New York Times, and then when he got doxed, TRS raised like 40 grand for him. I mean, how do you not expect to get doxed when you get interviewed by the New York Times?
Yeah. That's a good question. But then he got brought in. He got
to TWP. He became TWP management after the box broke. He basically took over TWP. And he's like a hipster.
That merged with the current TRS fake
NJP party. Yes.
Yeah.
LLC.
So, yeah. So I don't know, man. It's a lot of shady shit.
Yep.
I think they're involved with the FBI on some level. I just can't believe they're not. But I can see how you wouldn't notice that if you were involved with them, because I don't think it's I don't think it's real direct in terms of getting point by point talking point. But you have to wonder about some of these talking points. Like, why would you even be saying these things? I don't even know why. Like, just like that abortion clip you just played. It's like, well, why would you even? What's the purpose of even saying that? It's, mm-hmm. It's bizarre.
There's no reason for that. Like, just don't have a take. You don't have to be didactic on everything. Like, you know, you don't have to have a take on literally everything. You can choose to say nothing.
Well, you know, I was approached by the feds, by an Israeli-trained FBI informant in 2013 or 2014. So these people go to everybody. They go to everybody and try and talk to them. And I know there's no way they didn't go to TRS and they didn't go to Matt Weinbach or any of these people. And so, I mean, if they're doing cocaine all the time, I mean, it's just not. It's not believable. They're not involved on some level with that, but it ultimately just doesn't even matter. I mean, because what they're saying is so stupid and so poisonous that I just can't imagine anybody going along with it. But I mean, I don't really think hardly anybody is at this point. I can't. I mean, how many followers do you think they have?
They can't have. I mean, I don't know, because again, paying followers or followers. Because there's a lot of people, like I said, that just like scab their stuff off a poll.
Yeah, I can see. I can see some people just listening just to see what they're saying. Sure.
I don't. I mean, there's their core group is probably like 700 guys, maybe. Maybe.
How do you think somebody changes their views like that because of a podcast, though? Because if you agreed with them in 2015, 2016, and you agree with them now, you would almost have to have some kind of schizophrenia to be able to change your views that much.
That's why I'm friends with the people that are no longer friends with them, you know, because we were all friends back in 2015, 2016, when we all had the same opinion on things. We still have the same opinion on things. We just don't talk to TRS now, you know. They're totally fine to have lost every original friend they've ever had. Everybody who was ever associated with any of their stuff, did content for them, whatever. They don't care, because the new guys, you know, the post Charlottesville people, because there's a lot of people who found out about TRS because of Charlottesville.
Why don't you think they care about money, though?
I mean, they were making, for a while, they were making $50,000 a month. You know, I'm sure that's been well invested into some stuff to where they're probably comfortable for however, you know, investments. Like Jesse was just talking about his Pfizer stocks paying them off, you know. So I'm sure they made a killing on the anti-white vaccine.
What the fuck?
Is that a joke?
No, he was on the show.
I mean, was he joking? Do you think he was joking when he said his Pfizer stocks are paying off?
No, dude. He was talking about, he's talking about his stocks. He made it because they made a dividend or some shit.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, and he, like, that's not usually what you want to talk about you know, when people that you listen, that listen to your show have to deal with the vaccine mandates that don't exist, but totally exist.
Yeah, they exist, man. I mean, they, this really ruined everybody's life. And it's the most, it's like the most root populist issue. Like, I mean, you look at like how popular Marjorie Taylor Greene is. And like, if you're an anti-Semite, I mean, she's come pretty close in a because she, I don't really think she cares about like Christian Zionism or whatever. So she's come a little bit close. But what, you know, if you're a right winger and you want to like get, basically you just want to take, I mean, at least in my view, what my view has always been is you want to take like normal white people and get them on board with this thing with the Jews. Like you just want to get people on board with that because everything else is pretty much, I pretty much agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene or any other Republican on, or at least in terms of what they say, what their talking points are, I pretty much agree, except when it comes to the Jews. I mean, when it comes to, you know, these abortion, gun control, all these issues down the line, I agree with a normal conservative on just about everything. So, I mean, it's like if your primary issue is really the Jews, which they, they'll say that apparently you're saying they say seed oil is a distraction from the Jews. But if that was really what you believed, then you would, even if you didn't agree with white conservatives about anything, you would still want to reach that audience and then just inform them about this Jewish thing to get your agenda through. I mean, at least that's
right.
You know, that's how I always viewed it.
You would think that, but they don't. They hate conservatives the most. They think that converting Bernie Bros is what's going to save the white race.
But how? Yeah, I remember that meme. But it just
doesn't mean, if only or a meme.
It's never happened before. There's no recorded person. Who, I mean, maybe there's somebody somewhere, but you know, the old alt-right was all like libertarians and, you know, people, younger people who had grown up in conservative households. It was exactly where you would expect white people to come from. Trying to convert leftists is just stupid and is not going to bear any fruit. It hasn't borne any fruit yet. So it's just it's a crazy thing, and you wouldn't do that unless you were, you had some other kind of agenda at work.
Oh yeah, there's definitely another, it seems to be another agenda at work. Like,
what do you think that is?
I don't know, de-radicalizing, or just coasting into retirement, maybe. I don't know, to grift, maybe to using NJP to grift off of white racial politics until they can retire. Like, I honestly don't know. I don't know that they're going to run candidates. I don't know that they're, but I know that they're doing these little, you know, these little justice for so-and-so, you know, protests in little towns. They just did one in Akron, but and then there was one in North Dakota, the Justice for Jupiter. So I'm sure they're going to be doing more of those, you know, and those, you know, they get donations for that. I've never seen an event where Mike went to where he didn't leave with a pocket full of cash. You know, people give them cash donations all the time in person.
Yeah, that must be.
So they make, they're, I think, you know, they have a core group of their cult members, you know, the ones that will go to all the manias. They'll pay the $200 or whatever it is to go hang out with Mike and Jesse for the weekend. And, you know, those people, there's those people, they'll always pay for the paywall. There's probably a few hundred of them, you know. So I think that they have enough. Now you can tell by who's, you know, by who's on the shows, it's like, who's actually getting paid. All the paywall shows are like, you know, Jazz and Jesse is now just Jesse. And he's got,
that's another, the other thing when I posted that, cause I, you know, I wasn't friends with him, but Halberstram, he quit the Fash the Nation after I posted that stuff about jail. He quit at that time. So thought that was interesting. Cause I think he said that they've known each other like in real life. So to me, it looked like that he had seen suspicious stuff behind the scenes because, I mean, Jazz Hands was like pro America. I mean, he was the one who was like on board with Donald Trump and like that this is what we're going to do. You know, I mean, you can go into the details of this stuff, but he was more of like we want 1950s America, basically. We just want American nationalism. And that's what he was always the smartest and, you know, and to see him get on board with this weird costume march, this creepy shit. I mean, it's creepy, this weird neo-Nazi stuff with fat guys marching around in stall helms and talking about, screaming about, you know, we've seen their screams, the screaming about socialism. We're talking about, why are they talking about, who is this targeted at?
Right, because the only people that are into socialism are leftists, so liberals and brown people. So I don't know who you're trying to... White people communism, you know, trailer park nationalism, white trashnalism, they call it.
Okay, that's a good word for it.
Yeah. You know, the trailer park nationalism, drinking buddy nationalism. That's really all it is. I mean, like, you know, Mike and Jesse, you know, Mike's never had any real friends in his life. Now he has people who think he's God and he's going to save the white race. And everywhere he goes, he gets treated like a superstar, you know? So they're milking it. They're doing their deal. And that's cool. You know, good for you. But like, you're not saving the white race. You know, you're not, I don't know what you're doing, but you're not saving the white race. None of the stuff you guys are doing is saving the white race. You guys are race hustling now. They're like the white race hustlers. You know, every racial group has its hustlers. NJP is going to be one of the white people.
That does seem to be what they want to be, is like a Al Sharpton for white people.
Mm-hmm. Which some people say is a good thing. Some people say it's a good thing.
Well, it could be a good thing, like, in some way, if you were actually, like, supporting white people. But when you're out there, like, saying you're pro-abortion and anti-gun.
Right. Like, the two biggest constituencies, like, what they like, excuse me, your biggest constituent, what would be your biggest constituency, what they like is they're anti-abortion and they're pro-gun. You know, I don't know if you guys know
this. Those are, like, the core issues. For most normal white Americans, those are, like, the two biggest issues, mm-hmm. which... I mean, we can say there's other problems, but what you do, I mean, if you cared, what you would do is start with those points and then show how. I mean, it's not hard to show that Jews are behind gun control and abortion. It's not a secret. You know, it's pretty straightforward to lay out the facts here and say these names. We got a list of names here on both these issues, and right. there's something going on here. So, I mean, it's obvious to me that that's where you start from and where you go if you're. If you're trying to take care of white people, if you're trying to help white people, it's just seems very, very straightforward and obvious. So, you know, I don't know what these people are doing. I think it's sick. I think they're exploiting people. They're viewers. They're lying to them. And just confusing people. But I guess on some level, you're all, like I said, these are people who would have been Satanists in the 1990s. You know, it's just like an antisocial. Like, right, you want to be like an antisocial person because you have problems with your, you know, divorced parents or whatever. This is like something that you would get involved with.
Dude, yeah, it seems very much cult of personality. Cool guy to hang out with. Want to hang out with a superstar, the leader of the movement. You know, these are the leaders of the movement. They're literally just, you know, unemployed podcasters.
And probably most people listening right now don't even know who these people are.
Right. And that's another thing. They're not that big. They're not that big.
No.
Randbots.
We had 20,000 subscribers on YouTube mm-hmm. when we started getting banned. And for us, I was like, 20,000? That's freaking huge. For somebody that nobody's ever heard of before. You know, the paranormies? Like, that's freaking cool. You know? I know we're nobodies. You know what I mean? I know we're a fringe... We're a fringe group. When we have a fringe, you know, we have a decent amount of listeners, but we're in a very minority, you know.
People these send guys... me your shit. Nobody sends me anything from TRS. People send me your stuff pretty regularly.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, these guys, like, you can only say white people good, black people bad so many times, you know.
Now let me play these super chats. Randbot's been sitting on a stream snipe crying about us. I haven't been able to hear what he said. I've just seen his chat crying and whining. And, you know, I invited him to call in, of course. I don't know why I would do such a thing, actually. Mm-hmm. Some people in chat got violently opposed when I said such a thing, actually, because they used to have to be tormented by Rand every other night on this fucking show. And they would routinely tell me, get rid of that fucking idiot. So we can hear the guests speak once in a while. So I don't know why I would voluntarily invite him back. But if you're not too big of a pussy, of course you're welcome to call in, Ratbot. But I won't hold my breath. I won't hold my breath. Now let me...
Tell Mike Enoch to call in. Why does he always shield this fucking drunk Australian guy? I mean, tell Mike Enoch to come in and defend himself.
Well, we know that won't happen. But, yeah, that's, you know... He's welcome to come on, too. You know, Rand hates you more than anybody for some reason. Maybe that'll get him over here. I don't know. He's pathetic. I just thought he was already watching the show. He might as well stop by. They said I was begging him to come on. Not quite the contrary. I just thought it was funny that This is supposed to be his day off, by the way. And he's on some side stream watching this stream. This he's not even supposed to be streaming, keep in mind. It's like, okay, well, I mean, if it's burning you up that bad, why don't you just jump on here? You've been on here plenty of times before, but anyway, let me play these.
Anonymous sent $10 Mike Enoch married a Jew. Madhan Bok dated a Jew Ashley Ray at Communism Kills. We must protect Nick from that Jewish American princess Laura Loomer smile.
Fresh Gordon sent $3 National Justice Party sounds like something Jesse Jackson would start our big album with Pam Sharpton.
Rambot's fat ugly wife sent $3 or Jubit. I watched the little quadroon niglets so you can call into the show and defend your Jew pig master. If you're a tired, hungry, apo monkey boys can work a computer.
Wait a minute.
That's a big if.
Now, wait a minute. That was
uncalled for. William_33 sent $3 fucked up that super chat. You and Johnny said Mike so may time lol. To correct the record to him. Keep up the great work, Ethan and Johnny.
Thank you, man. I knew exactly what you meant. I knew exactly what you meant there. All right, now let's see. I'll make sure I didn't. Okay, let's see.
So I have a question. Oh, what's up with all their
Flash Gordon sent $3 giant anti-Jew paranormies about Jewish ritual killings.
All right, now what did you say? And I'll play the other ones in just a second. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. Finish the super chats.
Okay,
super
all right.
Anonymous sent $3. Finn browses Kiwi Farms, I think. He knows about Null and talked to him before, I think.
Let's see. I don't know about that, but I wouldn't
surprise. Wally sent $3. Just admit you, Wallaby, as qualified as Rand to speak on these matters.
All right. Let me see. Should I get a... Yeah. Oh, yeah, this one didn't get out of here earlier.
Anonymous sent $3. What are your thoughts on Warren Baloff? If anyone from them should lead TRS, it should be in my feel.
What do you think about him?
He's pretty smart. He knows a lot about white nationalism. His dad was part of was the National Front or whatever, the National Alliance, William Pierce's group. So he's got heritage. You know, he's got that bona fides going on because his dad did stuff for Pierce. He seems pretty well spoken. He's supposed to be a Christian. He never sticks up for Christianity or Christians at all. When these guys go hardcore atheist, you know, super fedora atheist, kike on a stick type stuff. He never says anything about it. So I don't know. He married Emily Yukis, who did that weird masturbating with a cross nude out in the woods in some black metal video. And that weird freaking Alfred, the dog cartoon that's like really deranged and degenerate. So I don't know.
She does have huge tits, though, I will say.
What's that?
She does have huge tits, though. Did he marry her? Wow, I didn't know they got married. I just knew she was on all the shows. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
what? Yeah. Are you serious? No, see, I don't even keep up. I just know she went away for a while, and then she started popping up on all the shows, and I was like, oh, she's back.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, like, I didn't know the background to it at all.
The balloon. But yeah.
Unless her tits are still huge, I assume, but that doesn't really change.
I've known her since she came out to California to hang out with Baked. And she ended up not hanging out with him. She ended up staying in Berkeley and then went back to Philadelphia, I think. But I met her in 2017, early 2017.
What's your experience with her?
She's just, I don't know, she's seems kind of autistic. She's got that girl autism going on.
She did the video.
She's got a kid now. Like, I hadn't seen her. I saw her that one time in California for a couple of days, and then I saw her a couple of years later recently with her kid. And so she's still kind of autistic, but now she has a kid. So, whatever. I guess you can reform people, but that shit she did before she was married is just really fucking out there. I don't know. If I found out about that before I got married, I don't know if I could have gotten married.
Do you think he might have pulled the plug on something like that? He might have just said,
I mean, masturbating with a cross in a black metal video.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It's like something she did.
It was in like a metal video?
Something, yeah. It might not have been a metal video. It might be it's a metal video, like a black metal video. And she's like naked in the woods, masturbating with a cross.
Well, and you know, Matt Hanbach's, TWP, they had a tranny in their group too.
Mm-hmm. The guy who, he wasn't a tranny, he cross-dressed. He was just cross-dressed. He just wore a dress. He was like Klinger from MASH. He wasn't really a tranny. He wasn't trying to be a woman. Like, he had a beard, you know, he just liked to wear dresses.
Yeah.
And everything with TRS, why is it gay? Like pool parties, that's a gay reference. Standard fuck party, that's a gay, definitely a gay reference. Standard whatever party, it's a gay reference. Everything to do, the colon report, really?
Didn't they have some gay scandal too?
Oh, yeah, there was a group called Fashy Faggots on Facebook. It was a secret group where they were like gay Nazis. Yeah, they were like trade dick pics and stuff. They would always add like the straight guys they thought were cute, and like those guys would come back to the regular group and were like, oh my god, I can't believe I just got added in the faggot group. And people are like, why isn't there a faggot group?
So there was officially a faggot group.
Oh yeah, it was a private little chat. I don't know how many guys were in. There's a couple. I knew of a couple of the gays.
And they eventually got somebody that was outed as a homosexual too that was involved, and he was like grooming. I can't even remember all this stuff. It's been so long.
Supposedly the ghoul thing with the younger kid. He had a buddy who was like 17, and they were like, he was grooming him. I don't know that that's true. So,
well, I thought that he was meeting. That somebody, maybe it was cool, was meeting like younger boys on their forums, and then that
I don't know about that, and they tried to cover it up. That I don't know about personally. I have heard that story. I don't know about personally. I do know that there were gays, and I knew the gays, and they were cool because they were Nazis, man. You know, they were they knew that they had to close the oven behind them. You know, when they got in, they were going to be last. You know, you need the gays, because without the gays, you wouldn't have philosophy. Without the gays, you wouldn't have this. Without the gays, you wouldn't have that. Like, bullshit. But anyways, yeah, they did some gay coddling.
Well, there's another issue on the list.
It's like Jesse's friend, you know, it's his buddy. You can't tell the guy who's technically in charge who he can and can't be friends with, you know? There's that.
Yeah.
How did they end up just falling out so, I mean, I won't say... I'm using violently as a figure of speech, not literally violently, but, you know, a nasty fallout like this with you, and you'd been tight with him for years and years. Believe me, I know how it goes. So I guess, you know, I could talk about my own stuff. I'm the interviewer here, though. But how did it happen with you to the point of you talked about it a little bit, I guess, at the beginning of the interview.
They just kept talking shit, calling us names. I know they were talking shit behind closed doors because that's what they do. And then they make comments on the show, and, you know, and people tell us about it. And we just got tired of it. And what really happened was there's this guy on Telegram named Typhus who has a chat. And Typhus is Tavistock Institute or something like that. And so he was talking about NJP. So I made a comment in the thread, and somebody else made a comment. And I made another comment. Well, come to find out, the person that I was replying to was a person that was a sworn enemy of TRS. And I was conversing with the enemy. And literally, Sven had a hissy fit and banned me from everything. That's what happened. That's literally what happened.
But that was your best friend there, Sven, right? Like,
what's that?
Sven?
Sven, that's my best buddy for 6 years, 7 years. Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah.
So why did he make the call? I mean, did he ever have a conversation with you? Apparently, it was
Pikachu. Who is a Romanian who supposedly doxed them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but still, it's so, like, Pikachu, you were talking, oh my god, you were talking to Pikachu? Like, what the fuck?
Dude, literally, the most high school gay bullshit, cut my kids out of their kids' lives, cut my wife out of their wife's friend group. Like, you know what I mean? This is the kind of shit that these people do. Because I literally said something to somebody that they don't like. Literally. It's literally the gayest thing ever.
Pikachu.
What was that?
It's a cult. The way they operate is like a cult, and that's what they don't let their cult members talk to anybody. That's like they, you know, none of them are allowed.
Uh-oh. Are you okay? I was about to say you're still there, right? All right, he cut out for a second. It's probably just his connection. We'll wait and see if he pops back in. This happens periodically. Let me see if I can play a super chat here. I think we're caught up. Let me look. No, I think there's at least one that I haven't played. Let me see. For sure. Wait, let's see. No, we played that one. Oh, we didn't play this one. Oh, let me see. Alright.
Fresh Garden sent $3. So I am for the game.
Can you hear me, Mr. Wanglin? I think you can hear me. I'm going to shoot him a message. Oh. And we'll see. I think the connection might have gone. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. That was from earlier. A connection issue. We'll get him back in here.
All right, I'm going to have to actually, I got to work tomorrow morning.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Now let me ask you, I guess that is kind of a, I mean, we've been going for like, I don't even know how many hours now.
Almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Two and a half hours. Let me ask you, I guess just how, how's things gone with your show since the fallout kind of lead into the final part?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine. We have, like I said, we have a new RSS. We've already got, like 25,000 downloads in the first week. So
that's very healthy for a podcast. Yeah.
What's that?
I said that's very healthy for a podcast for those who don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started, that's our first week on our RSS. So we're doing okay. You know, we'll get back there. Like we were doing about 90,000 downloads a week when we had our Zencast. And
Zencast fucked me over too, by the way. They kicked me off. And I've been with them for years, dude. Man, they're fucking dirty. They did me dirty, dude. I was just like, wow. They didn't return my emails or anything. They just fucking... Mm-hmm. I paid them for years, dude. I was pissed. Ugh, that was brutal. We were
with
them.
We had an account with Zencast from the very beginning. So, like, 2014 or 2015, I got a Zencast account. And I never used it because we had SoundCloud, and SoundCloud was better. Well, after we got kicked out of everything else, we put it on Zencast. You know, we had always had like a backup on Zencast. And so we'd been there for years already. So we, 2014, or excuse me, 15, that's 7 years. And they kicked us off after 7 years.
Dude. Yeah. I'd been on there like three, I think two or three now, seven. That's just wild. I was pissed on mine. I mean, it's just bad business to just drop somebody, not return their emails, not say anything. I mean, I don't know. I just was appalled just from a customer service standpoint. You know what I mean? To just get completely fucked like that.
Well, we used to get the emails from Kieran from Zencast.
Yeah, hey, me too.
You know, blah, 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 yeah. The Kieran guy. He seemed pretty cool.
Yeah.
He always handled it. If they overcharge me, sometimes they double charge me and be like, hey dude, you double charge me. And then they give me a free month and like, whatever, they fix it. But when it came to like, they just shut us down. I'm like, bro, what is even going on?
They just shut us down and didn't say anything, and like no queries were answered. And yeah, like you said, that Kieran dude, same guy I talked to, and he was nice as could be for years, and helped me out with some technical stuff. And sometimes they had like put a new back end in, and he was like, hey, how do you like it or whatever, or ask me about it. And then they just totally fucking shift to gears. I was like, wow. It was crazy.
Well, so, I think they got taken over by their storage went to Google.
Yeah. I didn't know that. You mentioned that earlier, and I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, that makes a little bit of sense, actually, I have to say.
Everything's either hosted on Amazon or Google now. So
now, tell people where they can find you. Promote your stuff.
You can find us at paranormies.com, paranormies.com. Also, Tuesday nights, live on pilled.net, Odyssey, and DLive. We do the Nationalist Inquirer, and then it gets released on Wednesday as a podcast, and then on the weekends, we do a regular show. Actually, this week, we're doing a live stream tomorrow night, so Thursday, we're doing our weekend show, but it's going to be Thursday, and it's a live stream, so you should check that out, too. What else? That's the show.
Let's have you back on. I was just going to say, let's have you back on sometime soon just to do a regular show outside of all this stuff. Now, obviously, it was going to be a lot of that tonight. But
I mean, it's gay. All that stuff is very, very gay. I mean, it's very, very childish, very, very gay.
It's
very disrespectful. Like, dude, they're just not good people. They're garbage humans. They support abortion. They support seed oil. Mike had a fucking nuclear meltdown over microplastics. Like, you eat a fucking credit card's worth of microplastics every week, and he called it a non-issue. He melted down over it, literally. These people have terrible takes. They're going to get their own people in trouble. People lose their job following these people. People lose their livelihoods, their families following what these fucking idiots fucking say. You know, they're a dead end, and they've ruined a lot of people's lives. And they don't give a fuck. Mike actually looked at the camera when what's her name, the alopecia girl, Katie McHugh. She doxed people for money because she needed money for insulin.
Yeah.
And Mike actually looked at the camera and was like, "We don't owe you fucking nothing." After her life was ruined. Like, really? That's how they feel about people after you've been kicked out. We don't owe you anything.
You know what? I do owe you a thanks for coming on tonight. I know it's drama and all that stuff, but like, I would like to have you on just regular style to do some paranormie style stuff, just to throw it in for a mix to give us some content diversity. So I'd love that. I'll stay in contact with you. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Big show tonight on the Killstream 1300 Live. Thank you so much, Johnny Monoxide, Paranormies Podcast.
Thank you.
Have a good one, sir.
See you, bud.
Wow, that worked out. That worked out well.
Thank you for watching this clip. This is the CAC Lofer. Remember to like and subscribe.